Hello there, and welcome to the sixth edition of Vinton County On the Air. It's October the 25th, 2013. Well, once again, welcome to Vinton County on the Air, our sixth episode. This is the local online audio program, also known as a podcast, highlighting news and information about the people and events in Vinton County. And for those of you listening in the future, this was recorded on the 25th day of October 2013, October quickly slipping away. As we usually do, I want to ask you to contribute, subscribe, and share. I've got show ideas, show information, community events, and so forth. Please contribute that to VintonCountyOnTheAir@gmail.com. Voicemail number is 740-569-3254. Share it on Facebook, as we have our Facebook page, Vinton County on the Air. Just search in the search box on Facebook, and you can post straight to the Facebook page or just send us a direct message. Speaking of direct message, there's always our Twitter account. The handle there is Vinton County OTA. Vinton County on the Air is what that stands for. So there are many ways you can contribute to the show. And again, we are only publicizing nonprofit and community group oriented events at this time. So just contact me. We'll work things out if you have any questions about it. Another thing I want to mention is that you can subscribe. We'll talk a little bit more about podcasts and how to do so in the future, but if you are already knowledgeable about that, you can subscribe through iTunes. You can listen to us on Stitcher online, and they also have an app as well. We're going to talk a lot more about that in the future. You can also go to the DBK Media Services website, and in each of the show posts, you can subscribe there via email. Just enter your email address, press on the subscribe button, check your email in just a few minutes, and you'll have an email from FeedBurner where you can click on a confirmation link, and then you will, each time an episode is posted thereafter, you will receive an email containing the post and a link to the show, the audio file of the show. And finally, I need you to share. We need to continue to try to get the word out there about the fact that we're doing this. And you can share any and all posts out on Facebook. Just click on the button below saying share. You can add your own 2 cents worth, or you can just allow it to go to your timeline with our post, if you will. And we've got an interesting lineup for you in this episode. First, I am, as I mentioned, going to attempt to bring a little clarity to the world of podcasting for many of you. Podcasts are really beginning to catch on, and yet there seems to be a mystique about them, some misunderstanding. So I'm going to put on my well-worn geek hat, if you will, and give you a little bit better idea of some of the terms surrounding podcasting, some of the advantages, and how you might be able to take advantage of all that podcasts have to offer. And then we're going to have an interview with a Vinton County newsmaker, citizen Jim Beckner, who was recently recognized by the Vinton County High School Alumni Association at their event on Saturday, October 18th, for all of his community events, or his community activities, I should say. And later in the episode, Carl is going to talk with the director of the Vinton County Little Vikes football program, Jason Newsom, about the Little Vikes program. But first, let's go to our calendar of events, where we will look at the events happening for the upcoming week and what's on the radar in the next few weeks. Calendar of events for Vinton County on the Air. We start off with today, Friday, October the 25th, First of all, I want to mention that the Vinton County Choir and Drama Boosters fruit sale is ongoing until the end of the month. We have navel oranges, red grapefruit, tangelos, some variety packs, if you will, available from Florida Citrus. We're also selling red delicious, golden delicious, and Granny Smith's apples. Orders can be made through any participating choir and or drama student, and if the order is taken by the student, that student will deliver the order to the buyer later on during the week of December 9th, at which time payment is expected. And if you're unable to locate a student selling the fruit, please contact Joy Henderson at the high school. That number is 740-596-5258, extension 246. And please make sure to leave a contact number and an address if you leave a message there on her voicemail. That is ongoing through the end of the month. Also, this evening at 5:30 to 6:30, the MacArthur VFW Ladies Auxiliary is having a chicken noodle dinner and baked steak dinner at the VFW in MacArthur. There is also going to be a first annual quarter throwdown at the Vinton County Community Building. That is beginning at 6 p.m. this evening. And we have Vinton County football on tap as they travel to take on the Nelsonville York Buckeyes in Nelsonville. Moving on to Saturday, October the 26th, we have Vinton County Youth League basketball signups for Central Elementary. That's taking place beginning at 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. at the Old Vinton County High School gym. We have a breakfast at Lake Alma. That gets underway at 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. tomorrow. There is a morning movie at the Herbert Westcote Memorial Library. Spookily, the Square Pumpkin gets underway at 10 o'clock, and that should be over by 11 or so. Tomorrow, of course, is the Big Roar Day at Lake Hope State Park. We spoke last week with Lori Gruppenhoff, and that gets underway pretty much at 10 a.m. and runs the actual activities at the venues run until 4 p.m. There is the a couple activities after that that extend clear into the late evening. That all takes place over at Lake Hope. Tomorrow afternoon at 5:30 p.m., Oktoberfest gets underway at the library, the Herbert Westcote Memorial Library. That goes till 9. Look for the big tent that will be set up there. 6 p.m. tomorrow night until 8 p.m., Harrison Township Fish Fry takes place at the Township House. And at 7:30 p.m., the Hill of Screams is getting underway at Lake Alma. You can join that until 9:30 p.m. On the 27th, a couple of our communities have trick-or-treats underway. I have information that the Village of Hamden and the Village of MacArthur are both conducting their trick-or-treat festivities from 2 to 4 p.m. on that day. On Monday the 28th, we have Vinton County JV High School football as they play Nelsonville York. Again, that, though, is at the Vinton County High School. Vinton County Commissioners meeting will take place at 10 a.m. that same day. On Tuesday, October the 29th, the St. Francis Center Mobile Food Pantry is going to be at the Radcliffe Fire Department. And at 1:30, the St. Francis Center Mobile Food Pantry will be in New Plymouth. 4 p.m. on the 29th, the MacArthur United Methodist women are having a soup and sandwich dinner, and that takes place at 4 p.m., runs until 6:30 p.m. On Wednesday, October the 30th, the St. Francis Center Mobile Food Pantry will be at 404B West South Street in MacArthur. Thursday, October the 31st, 8th grade football as they travel to Logan to play the Logan Chieftains. The St. Francis Center Mobile Food Pantry will be in Wilkesville from 9:30 to 11 and in Zaleski from 1:30 to 3 p.m. At 5 o'clock on the 31st, Meals of Grace is going to be getting underway at the Grace Baptist Church on East High Street in MacArthur. That runs until 6:30. That's a free meal there. At 5:30, there is going to be a family fun night at the Vinton County Health Department's parking lot. They have a costume contest that gets underway or happens at 7 o'clock that night. They're also awarding prizes for the best dressed car, if you will, as they will celebrate there in the parking lot of the health department. At 7 p.m., there's going to be a vigil for All Hallows Eve at the Trinity Episcopal Church on North Sugar Street in MacArthur. And next week, we will be back with you. The calendar will have been flipped to November the 1st, and the last varsity football game will take place as the Wellston Golden Rockets will travel to Vinton County High School to play that game. Game time is 7:30 p.m. A couple of things coming up on the calendar that we want to take a look at beyond our next episode, and that is on November the 2nd, Saturday, there is going to be a Central Elementary Fall Carnival. That's at 507 Jefferson Avenue in MacArthur, and that will take place at 6 p.m. There is a benefit on Sunday the 3rd at the Vinton County South Elementary School. That is a benefit for Donnie Burns. There's a lot of things going on there, pretty much from 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. Have food, raffles, quite a number of things. We'll kind of concentrate more on that next week in episode number 7. And then I want to mention again that a week from Tuesday, that'll be November the 5th, is Election Day. And we have quite a few different events there. The BPW will be serving their chicken noodle dinner. The Zaleski Fire Department also has the annual Fireman's Election Day lunch from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Tuesday, November 5th. And they will have a dinner as well from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. at the fire department in Zaleski. So that is our calendar of events on this, the 6th episode of Vinton County on the Air. I want to mention that I've been including a segment of the Vinton County on the Air calendar in each of the posts. So if you go to DBK Media Services, you can actually see many more details than what I'm actually going over. And if you have anything, please contribute by sending them to VintonCountyOnTheAir@gmail.com. In this segment of Vinton County on the Air, we're going to depart from our usual interview just to kind of describe for you a little bit of information regarding podcasts. I've talked to several people and I've observed some various behaviors. I kind of reached a conclusion that many people are confused a little bit about the term podcast or podcasting. So I thought I might take some time this episode to talk a little bit about what podcasts are. And I will warn you, as many of you that might know me, I am a nerd or a geek at heart, so I sometimes get a little detailed and a little nerdy or geeky, but it might help you understand what I mean when I throw around the term podcasts or podcasting during our episode. So here goes. First of all, the term podcasting is relatively new. It was coined around 2004, and it came from the combination of two words, pod, which we probably all know came from Apple's iPod, which is an electronic audio player that Apple came out with a few years back. And then the last portion of the word is cast, from the term broadcast. It's basically just nothing more than an electronic file that's placed out on the internet where it can be consumed or listened to or watched by an interested person. And then the geeky part is that it includes or creates something called an RSS syndication feed when in the file is published. And that feed, the RSS feed, the presence of the RSS feed distinguishes the podcast from a regular audio file that's just posted out on the internet where people can go and listen to it. And I'll have more to say about the RSS feed and what it does in a little bit. A podcast can be audio only, as is mostly the case, or it can be video and audio. I guess it could be video as well, but that would be pretty boring just to watch something without any sound. Audio podcasts are more prevalent for three reasons. They're easier to create because they require less equipment. Secondly, they can be consumed without the need for someone to watch a screen, and that lends itself to listening to it during tasks like driving, walking, working out, that kind of thing. And finally, the file in which an audio podcast resides is much smaller than the file would be for a similar video podcast. And that's important when consumers have limited or slow internet connections, as most of us do. Although podcasts can be consumed while online, one of the beauties of a podcast is they can also be downloaded into a portable electronic listening device like your iPhone, your iPad, your iPod, or there's several other MP3 devices, many smartphones. And those can be consumed even without an internet connection. So once it's downloaded to listen to it, you don't have to have an internet connection. And that distinguishes podcasts from the streaming media presentation, which some of us may know about. That's where you are on your computer or on your smartphone, and you're listening to a presentation which is pushed through the internet to the connected person. Again, you got to be connected to get that. A podcast is like TiVo, though. The consumer gets to listen or watch when they want to, whereas streaming content has to be consumed when it's being streamed. Sometimes you'll see the two methodologies combined. Sometimes something will be streamed as it's live, but then it's recorded and published later as a podcast so that those that weren't available to listen during the recording are able to do so at their convenience. And you recall in the early days, if you will, of Vinton County on the Air, I was trying to stream the live show and then publish it as a podcast and found out that there just isn't very many people that have time or the inclination to listen to the stream. So I discontinued that practice and now only publish it as a podcast. Another TiVo-like characteristics is that podcasts can be fast-forwarded or rewound, moved to the segment or the section of the recording that you want to listen to. If you stumble upon a segment that you don't particularly want to listen to, the listener can fast-forward the media player to a more engaging part of the podcast. And in the same fashion, if someone wants to hear a portion over again, they can do that too, and that makes it handy for reviewing details that might be in an episode. You can listen over and over again to a section if you so desire. Another advantage of a podcast is that it can be just as easily distributed or made available to a small number of people as it can to a large number of people. Once it's on the internet, anyone with internet access and a listening device can have access to it. That episode. And I will tell you that there are some podcasts that are made for a specific audience, for instance, employees of a specific company or members of a certain organization. Those podcasts can be protected by some form of credentials like a password or a username or something like that. And so they are private only to those that the company might want to listen to. And the potential audience for a podcast is only limited by the topic. So those interested, can get to it. Perhaps a podcast has a very narrow topic. Say, for example, antique John Deere tractors. Even though you may be the only person in your immediate community that's interested in this topic, chances are there's a whole bunch of people throughout the world, maybe, that like antique John Deere tractors, and they could be spread all over. It doesn't matter. Even as localized as our topic is, Vinton County, I see that we have listeners as far away as different states, Pittsburgh. We have some listeners up around Cleveland. So the world might be interested in what you are talking about in your podcast. And for that reason, there are hundreds of thousands of topics out there for podcasts. Chances are whatever topic you or topics you may be interested in, there are podcasts out there for you to listen to regarding that topic. And I'll tell you a little bit more about how to find podcasts in a little bit. Some podcasts are produced by slick professional broadcasting organizations, NPR, CNN, Fox News, all the different large broadcasting organizations now podcast quite a bit. But because it's relatively easy to create a podcast, many podcasts are produced by individuals who do it just by speaking into a recorder and uploading those audio files to the internet where they can be listened to or watched by anyone who's interested. And although there have been attempts to charge listeners for listening to podcasts, most podcasts are now distributed and can be consumed for free. Podcasts are usually produced in a serial fashion, with each different individual production broken down into episodes, such as the case for Vinton County on the Air. I know this is being recorded for our sixth episode. Podcasts are usually produced in a given frequency, as in monthly, weekly, daily, or even hourly, but some are produced sporadically or as the need arises. And obviously, in the case of Vinton County on the Air, we produce it weekly. So you may ask yourself, why then does someone take the time and effort to produce a podcast? Well, in most cases, it's because the creator has a passion regarding that subject of the podcast. In this example, in my case, not only do I have a passion about Vinton County, but I also enjoy the application of new technologies to accomplish a task. Others use it as a medium to promote their main business or their website. And there are others still who achieve very large audiences who then get advertisers to monetarily support their podcast. But those are few and far between. But yet it's the dream of many of us who do produce podcasts. Podcasts are also quickly becoming an accepted way of distributing instructional material. Colleges and universities are now encouraging their staffs to utilize podcasting as a way to distribute instructional material. I mentioned earlier that you can listen to podcasts straight from the originating site. In the case of Vinton County on the Air, that is how most people do so at this point. That does, however, require that you maintain that internet connection, whether it be on a smartphone or at your computer. It also requires that you go to the publishing entity's website. In the case of Vinton County on the Air, that's dbkmediaservices.com, my website on which I have all these posted. Those who consume more than a few podcasts usually do so, though, a different way. They use something called media aggregators. It's just a fancy name for a computer program that constantly checks to see if there is a new episode of their favorite podcast out there and then catches the new episodes for the listeners so they don't have to go looking for them. And these programs have come to be known as pod catchers rather than media aggregators. That's a little fancy of a term. Earlier, I mentioned that the podcast, when it's published, generates an RSS feed, and that's what I want to talk more about here. And it's the RSS feed that those podcatchers monitor. And when they see indication of a new episode in the feed, they automatically download the new episode so you can listen to it at your leisure. And here's where I get really geeky. You can use podcatchers on a PC, although I will tell you there are just some internet sites that act as podcatchers. If that isn't confusing, I don't know what is. You can find them, the podcatchers or the sites that act as podcatchers, by Googling the term list of podcatchers for PC. And I will tell you that there are sites that the sites that act like podcatchers don't always have access to all podcasts. And I realize I'm getting more confusing. An example of that is Stitcher. Stitcher is one of those sites that I would recommend to someone who's just getting into podcast listening. It's a site, and I will tell you that Vinton County on the Air is available there, but it's only because I reached out and requested that they monitor my RSS feeds, basically. You just kind of sign up your podcast to be listed on Stitcher. A true podcatcher can access all podcasts because of their RSS feed. It may be that you have to be a geek, though, to engage them. One of the most well-known podcatchers is iTunes. It's a piece of software which Apple uses to service their iPads, their iPhones, and iPods. And iTunes, if you have it downloaded, or if you just go to their iTunes on the internet, it has a store with different departments. One of those departments is the podcast section. And it's well known within the podcasting community that if you desire to have any kind of audience at all, you need to be listed on iTunes. And all the podcasts which I produce are listed on iTunes. And then nowadays, smartphones each have their own podcatcher programs. And there are several for each platform. an example for the Apple smartphone is the podcast app. Apple, a few iterations ago, broke out podcasts from their iTunes on the iPhone and created a podcast app, which is pretty much anymore what I use on my iPhone to listen to podcasts. For Android-based phones, an example is the IPP Podcast Player. All podcatchers allow the user to search for the podcast about the topics they're interested in. You just go to the typical magnifying glass type entry field, and you put in the topic about which you are interested, and then appropriate podcasts are displayed, and you can then listen to them, figure out whether you want to listen to them, and then you can click on a button and subscribe to the podcast, in which case the podcatcher on the phone will periodically check for new episodes of that particular podcast. And when one's available, it will download to the phone so you can play it whenever you want. Again, TiVo-like. iTunes is not only a great podcatcher, but it's also the foremost directory for finding podcasts. Even if you aren't an Apple customer, you can find the iTunes store just online on the internet and use it to find podcasts in which you might be interested. And it usually includes then a listing for the website of that podcast. So if you're listening to podcasts only on your PC, you can go directly to the websites and listen to the podcast. There are many other directories online as well. So if you're interested, just use your search engine, that is Google or something else like that, Bing, and look for podcasts. And you can get as descriptive as you want, podcasts for a certain topic. If you've listened to any of my podcasts that I produce, obviously this one, you have undoubtedly heard me ask that you consider subscribing to a podcast. And in the case where someone is using a podcatcher, this only means that the podcatcher will continue to be on the lookout for the new episodes. On my podcasts, I also offer another way a consumer can subscribe, and that's via email. If a listener goes to one of the show posts on my website, which is dbkmediaservices.com, you'll see a subscribe box in each of the episode posts where you can place your email address. And then you click on the subscribe button. Soon thereafter, you will receive an email into the email account that you signed up. And the email comes from Feedburner, which is a Google company that provides this link or this service. And there will be a confirmation link in that email. It's just a way of ensuring to Google that the email is valid and that the email user wants to receive this. The user just clicks on the link in the email, confirming that's correct email account to complete the process. After that, Feedburner will act as the podcatcher in a fashion and will monitor for new episodes. And when a new episode is produced, the user will receive an email containing the post from the episode along with a link to get it to the audio file of the program. I hope this information has been useful, but I also wonder what questions it's raised or how confused I've made you. So either way, let me know by dropping me an email at vintoncountyontheair@gmail.com, and in that email you can provide the questions that I may have prompted or the confusion that I may have created, and we'll go from there. But I thought it would be interesting. I know we have 490 or so likes on Facebook, but I can see that nearly very many of people are actually listening to the show at this point in time. So I thought this might be a way of kind of explaining to each of the people that listen to the show what that great, wonderful world of podcasting is really all about. As I was in the formative stages of Vinton County on the Air, I thought about some of the content the program should include. And one of those things that makes Vinton County unique is our people. So I thought it'd be interesting to talk with various people from Vinton County just to learn about their time in Vinton County, the things that are important to them, and how they are and have been involved in Vinton County. And in so doing, I thought I could build a depository of interviews of the people of Vinton County. And so in this segment of Vinton County on the Air, we're going to speak with one Mr. Jim Beckner. Mr. Beckner, how are you this evening?
I'm wonderful, Bruce. How about yourself?
I'm very well as well. Jim, you have led most of your life here in Vinton County, and as someone of from Vinton County who's led a pretty interesting existence, I wanted to talk with you and kind of work to build this this collection of interviews with people from Vinton County, what they have done throughout their lives in Vinton County, what's kept them busy, what it's meant to them, what they've learned about Vinton County and about themselves and so forth. And so I want to kind of start, we'll start at the very beginning where we always do, and that is you were not born in Vinton County, were you?
No, actually, I was born in Parkersburg, West Virginia in 1950. That will admit my age. Yeah. Moved to Hampden, Ohio at a very young age, just as an infant with my parents.
Okay.
So I've lived in Hampden ever since. So I count Hampden as where I was born and raised, although I was not officially born here.
It's home.
It's home.
I see. Okay. And where'd you go to school? I mean, how small were you when you moved?
I was probably 4 or 5 months old. I was not old enough that I remember moving to Hampden at all.
Okay. So you really were raised in Hampden then?
I have been raised in Hampden.
Okay.
And I went to the Hampden Elementary School, went to Hampden School through my 10th year, and then when they consolidated in 1966, my first year at the Vinton County Consolidated High School was in 1967. And then, of course, I graduated, was a second graduating class of the Vinton County Consolidated High School in 1968.
Well, not to reopen wounds of anybody out there, but it's just one of those, it's the gorilla in the room. But, you know, as someone that came from a community that had their own school and was part of the consolidation into the Vinton County High School, How was that for you?
It was strange, to say the least, at first, but I quickly realized that, you know, it was just another segment of life that I just as well make the best of. You know, we at Vinton County had intramural sports that we played basketball between all the different schools in the county. So, you know, there was some competition there, but it was, you know, you just make the best of it. I soon made many friends from around the county and just made the best of it. I felt like I fared quite well. I mean, I just, you know, like I've said before, I just made the best of it and worked out fine.
Did you, what activities were you, you mentioned athletics in school. What else did you do?
I was a band member in Vinton County at the Vinton County High School for the 2 years I was there. Of course, I was a band member in Hampden prior to coming to Vinton County. I did not play any sports after consolidation. I was not that good of a basketball player, so I didn't even attempt to compete with the larger number of kids that were in high school once we consolidated.
I got the word somehow that you participated in the class play.
I was in the senior class play. That was a very enjoyable experience.
Do you remember what it was?
To be honest with you, well, I do not, and I'm ashamed to say that, but I just do not remember.
That's a
45 years ago is a long time ago.
I understand. Okay, so you graduated from Vinton County in 68.
Yes.
What'd you do next?
My first thought was that I wanted to be a school teacher, so I attended a high university in Chillicothe for a year, and then that just didn't seem to be my forte or my fit.
Mm-hmm.
So then I attended Hocking College and took electronics, and then went to work for my father at his TV shop in Wellston.
I see, and that was back when we could fix some of our electronics.
That's when we could still fix electronics, exactly.
Okay, so you're working for your father then at the Wellston location of Beckner's TV, I suppose.
That's correct, yes.
Okay. What else was going on in your life about that time?
Well, shortly after that, I enlisted in the Ohio National Guard, went away for 4 months to boot camp and AIT, and came back and served 6 years in the Ohio National Guard in Chillicothe. Once I finished that, I re-enlisted for 5 more years to the Ohio National Guard in Athens, and then transferred to McConnellsville and finished 11 years in McConnellsville.
Wow, 11 years in with the National Guard, huh?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And you used, I would guess, some of that training to kind of fit in. I read that you were associated with the Sheriff's Department back then as well.
Yes, and actually in 1971, I was one of the first classes that Ohio offered to train police officers in basic police training. The first class was held in Jackson, Ohio, and there were about 30 of us from Jackson, Benton County went and took that class. And I have served as a special deputy ever since 1971. I'm still serve in that capacity in Benton County.
Well, I know one of your big service opportunities or horizons that you've been involved in for a number of years has been the Hamden Volunteer Fire Department. Why don't you talk about that?
I've been a very proud member of that department since November of 1968, and I became fire chief in September of 1978 and have served in that capacity ever since. My mother at the time in 1968 was the mayor of the village of Hamden. And when I turned 18, of course, she was a very public service oriented person. She said, you know, you just need to join the fire department and do something for the village. So that's how I joined the fire department, and I've been there ever since and saw a lot of changes.
Yeah, and it's grown quite a bit, hasn't it?
Yes, when I joined the department, we had 2 old trucks, and not everybody even had turnout gear, and we were in an old building that didn't have much room, and Bob Rogers was the fire chief at the time, and he kind of took me under his wing, and we built an addition on the old fire station and started, you know, upgrading our equipment and training and that kind of thing. And because of Bob's influence, I've just kind of continued, you know, with that theme throughout. And now we're in a new $750,000 fire station and have, you know, 5 really nice trucks, 3 of which we as volunteers actually purchased used and have rebuilt to suit our needs with all volunteer labor. So, you know, I'm very fortunate as fire chief to have a super talented bunch of people that can just do anything and will take on any challenge.
Not to waylay the point, but volunteer firefighting has changed dramatically, hasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. The training that's required now, and you know, just to keep your certification up. Used to, years ago, you took a 36-hour class and you were done forever. Now you're required to do that many hours of continuing education every year. So, fortunately, that's available online, and we make it available to our volunteers at no charge. So, you know, to keep them up to date.
You were also involved with the EMS service, weren't you? SEAMS?
Yes, when SEAMS first came to Benton County, a group of us in Hamden took the EMT training and actually ran squads out with the squads out of MacArthur, and for a short time had a squad actually stationed here at the fire station in Hamden. Hmm.
So was that kind of in conjunction with the firefighting, or was wholesale?
No, it was just an additional thing that some of us decided to do, you know, more community service type stuff.
Right. Now, you had a political career as well.
Yes, I was elected Benton County Commissioner in 1989, served in that capacity for 6 years, one term, and I resigned midway through my second term to take a job opportunity with the multi-county solid waste district.
You've been a busy, busy boy, Jim.
Somewhat.
Yeah.
And in between all these times, I was in the convenience store business. I owned a skating rink in Wellston, you know, just various things. So I've been around a little.
What about family? Do you have a family, Jim?
Believe it or not, I do. They sometimes wonder if they have a father, yep, or wife or husband, father and grandfather, but my family has always been very supportive of me. They've just kind of let me do what I want to do because they know I love it so much. My wife and I, Kit, who was Kit Johnston from Wellston, right, were married, celebrated 42 years just last week. I'm not real sure how she put up with me that long, but she has.
Well, she hasn't seen a lot of you. You've been.
Yeah, it's true. She hasn't been around me long enough to, you know, be mad at me. Right. So I guess that's the thing. I have a daughter, Stephanie, who is a Benton County High School graduate, went on to attend High University and is now a third grade teacher at Central Elementary in MacArthur. Mm-hmm. And I have a son, Jim, who is also a Benton County High School graduate and is a production manager at YSK Corporation in Chillicothe.
Okay, and six grandchildren.
And then I have six grandchildren, right. All of those are attending Benton County High School. My oldest, or Benton County Schools, my oldest granddaughter, Alex, graduates from Benton County High School this year. So
I can't believe that, I tell you.
That's hard to believe.
It is, it is. Well, it's had a great, great amount of service throughout your life, and we really appreciate that. I've known Jim for years. I don't know when we met or anything. We've shared a lot of different public service pursuits and so forth, particularly back when you were a commissioner. I know we worked a lot together,
right,
back then. We also played in the alumni band a couple times together, as Jim's a great trombone player. Don't let him tell you did anything different.
Jim, I'm not as great as Mr. Knox, trust me.
As I talk with people who have grown up in Vinton County, there are a couple things that I kind of wanted to ask each of them, and this will be these questions will be a little varied from time to time, but pretty much the same. I wanted you to think back on your time in school in Vinton County and think of maybe one particular administrator or teacher that made an impression on you, and if so, how?
Well, there were several. I would have to say Barbara Litter, who was a math teacher at Benton County Consolidated Schools, had a great influence on me. I was never a great mathematician, but she convinced me that I was better at math than I really thought I was. So I would have to say, you know, she had a pretty big influence on me. Mm-hmm. We had a principal at actually Hamden High School, Mr. Keener, who was quite a strict administrator at the time, and he probably calmed down some of my boyhood orneriness to get me on the right track. So I'd have to say those two people probably had the biggest influence on me.
Okay. What, from your time in Vinton County, what one principle did you take from that time and which proved to be helpful to you?
From school, I guess I learned that if you learn the basics, you can learn everything else. Mm-hmm. And be able to take that and apply it in whatever you decide to do with your life, whether it be in business or politics or whatever. I guess that would be my biggest principle I learned from school.
So the building blocks are important then?
Sure, absolutely. I think so.
Okay. If you had to say, had to answer the question, what's important to Jim Beckner, what would you say?
I would have to say family first, and I know a lot of people would say that's not true because you never spend any time with your family, but I do, and I try to make that what time I do have with them. I try to make it quality time. Never when my children were at home and growing up did we not take a vacation every year, regardless of what was going on. I always made sure, you know, myself, my wife, and my kids got to go on a vacation. So I would have to say, you know, family is very important. Secondly, of course, is, you know, service to the community. I think I got that from my mother. She was always involved in community affairs, and she always taught me that if you're going to be involved in something, when you leave, make sure it's a lot better than it was when you got there. Do your part to make it better. So I've always tried to do that.
Okay. And our last question for you, for what do you want to be remembered when you're no longer with us?
Well, I hope people remember me for the things that I've done in the community, you know, as far as my public service as a commissioner, my public service as a unpaid special deputy, my public service to the community of Hamden as a member of the fire department and fire chief. I hope people remember me for that. I still try, since I have retired 5 years ago, I became an auctioneer, and one of my favorite things to do is donate my time to organizations or that are trying to raise money for themselves by having an auction. And I really get a kick out of doing that. So, you know, it all comes back to, you know, just trying to help other people, I guess.
Great. Jim, I wanted to, I don't think I mentioned this, but Jim was just recognized by the Vinton County High School Alumni Association with an award. How did you phrase that, Jim? As an award with no award or something like that?
A non-award award.
There you go. But they did recognize Jim for being a graduate of Vinton County High School and for all the public service. He's obviously a very service-minded person, and Vinton County, while it's been good to you, Jim Beckner's been good to Vinton County, and we appreciate, Jim, you taking time to speak with us today.
I enjoyed it, Bruce, and Vinton County has definitely been very good to me. They've, you know, people have supported me throughout my life and my professional career, and still do, and it's great to walk down the street and have someone say, "Hey, I just wanted to thank you for doing this," and that, you know, that's more pay than I will ever receive from anyone in cash, I'll tell you that.
All right. Thank you so much, Jim.
Okay, thank you, Bruce.
Take care. Each of the five past episodes, we've talked with a newsmaker in our athletic programs here in Vinton County. Carl Knox has spoken a couple of times to head football coach Jesse Burleson. He's spoken to the Vikings golf coach Terry Hale, Vikings cross-country coach Josh Kirkpatrick, and last week he spoke with the Lady Vikes varsity volleyball coach Ashley Graves. This week, we departed from the ranks of the Vinton County High School and talked with the person who directs the ranks of the Little Vikes. Here's Carl as he talks with the director of Little Vikes football, Jason Newsom.
All right. Thanks, Bruce. And this week, Carl Knox being joined by the, the director of Little Vikes football. Welcome, Jason Newsom. How you doing, Jason?
Doing good. How are you?
Good. I do appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to discuss what I think a lot of listeners, if they haven't had a kid that's going through the Little Vikes, be it as a player, and I also know that you have a cheerleading group too, a lot of people know they exist but really don't know maybe everything that goes into what the Little Vikes program is. And that's, how long has Little Vikes been going on in Vinton County?
To my knowledge, it was formed in 1997, so it's been going on for quite a while now. It originally started off with the Cottrells, but we've taken it over since then. He stepped down a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
The former president, Todd Kennison, took over after Frank actually just bowed out.
Right.
And, you know, we've tried to take it in a little bit different direction. You know, we split up and we form more teams and try to get the kids on the field. You know, without play time, it's not really doing the kids any justice.
Now, out of curiosity, what ages or what grade levels does the Little Vikes football program actually, what kids are actually allowed to play?
We start, we allow play for the football players in second grade.
Okay.
Now, we have our own second grade team in which Bob Grillo is the head coach and does a wonderful job. The kids love him, and he's a great entry coach for the kids.
Probably because he's kind of like a kid, isn't he?
Yeah. Hey, Bob has the ability to get down on a child's level and speak to them, you know, and that's important.
Yes, it is. And as much as we like to razz Bob, he is a super guy, and boy, do the kids, they just love him. I mean, and he's, like you said, he's got an ability to communicate on their level, yet still have respect from the kids, and him along with many other people do a good job. But you start out at second grade, and I take take it? Can they play up until what, the sixth grade year?
Sixth grade year is the final year for Little Vikes, and then of course they go on to junior high. You know, and that's our main focus, is to get the kids ready and prepared for junior high and high school ball. It's important to teach fundamentals. It's important to get the kids play time. I mean, you have to instill confidence. You have to instill the ability and the knowledge of the game. You know, and that's what we try to focus on. You know, sure, we want to win. I mean, nobody likes to lose. But in the big picture, if you don't have the kids playing, and if you don't have the kids learning the game, what good are you doing these kids and preparing them for junior high and high school?
So I take it, you know, even though, like you said, winning is important, you're more or less trying to teach the game and get the kids motivated and excited about the game such that they're going to develop to the point that once they get to the junior high or the high school levels, and that's kind of the goal, I guess, that they're still going to be interested and love playing the game.
Exactly. I mean, and that's what it's all about. I will say this. When I first came into the program, I didn't have this mindset.
Mm-hmm.
I had the mindset that the best 11 should play.
Right.
Now, that's how I was raised.
Well,
when we grew up, that's how it was.
What changed that, Jason?
Watching the kids develop on the field.
Mm-hmm.
You know, seeing a child without the ability to get in a proper stance, carry the ball make a proper tackle. Once they did get that confidence in that, and instilled that into their head that they could do this, then you watched the change and you saw it happen. And you know, you have to develop these kids. They don't all develop at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, you have kids that are just naturally athletically gifted, you know, and they're easy to train, they're easy to teach, they're easy to coach. And then you have the kids that are not. And you cannot leave these kids behind. And if you don't take the time to develop all these children, you know, you have no guarantee that all these kids are going to stick around with open enrollment.
Right.
You know?
Well, that's true. Now with you mentioned Coach Grillo's second grade team. How many collective teams encompass the Vinton County Little Vikes program? How many separate teams are there?
We have one second grade team. We have two third and fourth grade teams. We have two fifth and sixth grade teams.
Okay. So, yeah. What, five teams total?
Yeah, five teams. And between the five teams, we've been able to recruit, I guess you could say, around 100 kids. Which,
okay.
You know, that's 100 kids that aren't sitting on the couch playing video games.
Sure, yeah. And is there a consistency, I guess, in, you know, being director or being a volunteer coach, director of anything youth-oriented, and I'm guessing you can kind of smile and nod your head yes to this. The easiest thing in the world to do is sit back and criticize, but when you're actually the one that's in charge of it or in charge of a group of kids and trying to develop it, you know, there's a lot of people who might be critical, but is there a consistency within the program with you and all the coaches? And I don't know if Coach Burleson in the high school, if all the other coaches on other, if you're all kind of saying, listen, these are, You run the plays you want to do, but these are kind of the goals that we're trying to address in terms of teaching fundamentals. Is there a system within that, or is it just kind of like every coach kind of does things their own way?
We try to stay as consistent as possible. We have actually went to classes that Coach Burleson has put on for us to help us understand his offense and defense, which we greatly appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I thank the world of Coach Burleson. I think he does a great job. I would like to see him continue what he's doing. I think he's making great strides in Vinton County. What I would like to see happen over the years is for us to improve our program, get more in sync with junior high and high school, and just the whole separation. We need to be one group working for one goal.
Yeah, I agree. And I know that dynamic has, you know, arguably been a little different throughout the years. But the one question, and I'll be the first to admit this, I played two practices of football, never even in pads. Second day of conditioning, running backwards, I stepped in a hole over at the Boneyard at Wyman Park, broke my wrist in three spots. And my mom forbid me to ever play football again. So call me a pansy. I would have wished I could have played, but I was a basketball guy. So when we're talking football and as much interviewing as I do with the basketball program, things like that, I have some background and some experience in that. But the one thing when you translate that to any other sport, And I guess, you know, in talking to Coach Combs and, you know, buddies of mine that are on the Vinton County basketball staff, you know, I've heard them make points that when you're coaching the little league level, and you made the point earlier in this conversation how kids develop at different paces, that you might have a kid that is in fourth or fifth grade and he's just matured quickly and he is just a stud. And there might be someone, a little guy that's maybe not as quick, not as strong, a little scrawny, but by the time he gets to the sophomore level, things change in that period. And do you kind of make a conscientious effort that we're going to try to get every kid involved and utilize every kid as best we can such that we don't turn them off, that in the event that they do, you know, we don't want kids to be disinterested or to get scared or intimidated by playing football?
I'll say this, Carl. We try to do the absolute best that we can to make every child as happy as we possibly can. It's impossible to please
right.
everybody.
Sure it is.
You're never going to hit both sides of the fence. You know, you've got the parents that just want to win. You've got the parents that just want their kids to play. You got the kids that want to win. You got the kids that just want to play. So it's hard to make everybody happy and comfortable all the time. All you can do is the best you can do.
Right.
And my theory and the other coaches' philosophy, everything on this football is if you're not on the field playing, you're not learning, you're not improving, you're not helping your program in any way, shape, or form. So we try to focus on that, and sometimes, and I don't mean to sound this in a callous way, you've got to put the parents' views and thoughts aside. It's
yeah,
not, it's
I
not
agree.
About them. It's not
I
about
agree.
Me. It's not. Jason Newsom does not own Little Vikes. This is the community's program. We are just trying to offering. We are trying to offer a program for the kids to have fun and learn the game of football.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as we do that, and as long as we make a conscious effort to provide this for these kids, I think we've done our job.
Well, and you know, there is an, I'm not going to mention the town or the school district. There's a little league football program that I'm familiar with that they might have 30 or 40 kids on a team, and I think they practice. I think they practice like 6 days a week, 2.5 hours a night. And then they play. So these kids are, you know, conceivably they might be actually working out and playing more than the varsity level kids. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, just do the basic math. That's 11, 11, 22. You have 30 plus kids on a team. And I made the comment to someone from this area and I said, well, you know, how is that fun for a kid? How does that, you know, and they've had some success, but I guess my point being is that, you know, a lot of things can change, I don't envy you in the position you're in. I think it's very admirable because, like you said, you get the parent that this football game is the world, and they're little boys in fifth or sixth grade. And my thought is, you know, first, this your child's probably not going to make the NFL. Secondly, probably not going to get a D1 scholarship, and you know, so. I guess the most important thing is they learn the sport, they enjoy it, they're exercising, they're learning how to do things right, not only on the football field, but off the football field. And to that point, Jason, you know, as I thought about this, you know, basketball, you get a T-shirt, you go out and buy a pair of shoes. With football, all the equipment, there has to be a tremendous amount of expense. Do you guys raise all or most of the money internally, or is there a pretty big financial obligation on behalf of the parent or the guardian?
Well, we try to keep the fees as low as possible. I don't think parents actually do realize what it costs to outfit a child and put them on the football field. You know, we provide insurance. You know, you're looking at helmet, shoulder pads, seven-piece pads, pants, game jersey, practice pants. We provide all that.
What would you say? I mean, just a rough guesstimate.
It's around $250 per child.
Per kid.
To suit them up and put them on that football field. Our sign-up fees are $65. So we do a lot of fundraising. During our games, our concessions, that helps pay. Majority of our fundraising comes out of our concessions because, you know, you have to pay refs as well.
Mm-hmm.
So our gate fees usually cover our ref fees, and it's the candy bars and the hot dogs and the pizza that helps buy the jersey and the helmet and the pants and, you know, so on and so forth. We do have a few outside sponsors that have helped out this year that have been great. You know, it's everything you can get.
Right.
You know, it's the tournament. We are actually hosting a tournament this Saturday and Sunday, which should help generate a decent amount of revenue for next year's program.
How many teams are going to be outside of, you know, not outside of Vinton County? How many teams do you have coming in?
Well, we have actually started our own league with Alexander. We went with Coach Arno because we wanted to be with the same teams with the same mindset, that it was about play time. It wasn't about, you know, playing your best 11 all four quarters. And we've teamed up with Alexander, Federer Hawking, and River Valley this year.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked out really well. All in all, the games went fairly decent. Now, we were the only team in the league that actually divided our kids into 2 5th and 6th grade teams into 2 3rd and 4th. We were the only ones that had enough kids to do that. And it weakened us, I'm not going to lie.
Right.
But every one of those kids got to see the field. And, you know, you develop two quarterbacks. You develop two fullbacks, two tailbacks. You develop a half a dozen linebackers. You develop two centers. Now, you take your lumps, but when they move on to junior high and high school, you have kids that are trained, that have experience in these positions, and these are skilled positions that are not easily learned.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I said, we focus on big picture. We don't focus on this Saturday and next Saturday. I'm focusing on 2016, 2017. You know, that's where it's at.
Well, and that's music to Coach Burleson's ears and the athletic department of Vinton County, and you know that is an asset, I think, especially not only are you developing them, but hopefully they're having fun and getting excited.
Yeah.
And I know football, and of course you come, I think, for any of the listeners that don't know Jason personally, I know you came from the Jack O'Rourke era, and I think you and Jack are still personal friends and keep in contact, but what year did you graduate from Vinton County?
1993.
Jeez, you're old.
Yes.
Actually,
sir, I am.
That's 2 years after I started my insurance career. So that tells you how much older I am than you. But nonetheless, you were part of that great run, the Jack O'Rourke, and back then, and you were a outstanding lineman for the Vikings. But you remember back there, the community, the sense of excitement in Vinton County. When you guys had those years when, you know, you guys did some really special things, and I'm sure nothing would make you happy, not only you individually and for your two great sons, but also all the kids, the lives that you've touched as a result of, you know, volunteering your time, to see Vinton County really kind of get back to that level.
Yeah, absolutely. And it can be, you know, but the town, and it's not just a few people, the community has to come together and want this to happen. And it, you know, like the old saying says, it takes a village to raise a child. And it does.
Yeah.
You have to get behind the program. Parents, you know, businesses, they have to want to make this work, or it's never going to work. And, you know, I can remember back when I did play, the glory days, walking on the field and just seeing the stands filled, you know, and it'd be standing room only.
Right.
And you know, whether those days will ever get back to that point, you know, it's going to determine on how bad people want that to happen.
Yeah, and you know, Vinton County right now, we're in week, going into week 9, we're 4-4. The last two games of the year, at least for the varsity campaign, they are both very winnable games for Vinton County, but a 6-4 record would be great strides from the prior, you know, several years. And you know, we're seeing a good crop of football athletes kind of come into the system, and I think the Little Vikes program is a testament to that. And I think, you know, what you said, it takes a community to come together, and I think when you're dealing with little kids in sports and parents' egos, or some, like you said, some of them, this is big time, and it's win at all costs, and you have that attitude, and then you have more what I consider the reasonable attitude is, let's learn the game, let's develop, let's work together. But I think, and I can say this having a daughter that's in sixth grade, sometimes you got to know how to bite your lip, and sometimes you got to respectfully agree to disagree and work together as a team. It's like working in a business or everything else. Everyone is not always going to see things the same way. But when you're the coach, the volunteer director, things of that nature, you're kind of the guy that's kind of charged with the responsibility of getting everybody to settle down and kind of see things as a big picture type of situation.
Well, you know, And like I said, I don't mean to sound callous, but I quit worrying so much about what the parents think of me and what I'm doing. What makes me tick, what makes me get off my couch and go out on the football field and spend and donate my time is a look in those kids' eyes. And that's what's important. Parents sometimes get wrapped up with the whole Tiger Woods syndrome.
Yeah.
They need to let kids be kids. They need to let kids enjoy the game, quit treating it like a job. They got the rest of their life, and they got college to think about. You know, mm-hmm. they can focus on that when they get there. At this age, let them have fun. Let them develop a love for the game, and then let junior high and let high school develop it on from there.
Right.
And I know not everybody's going to agree with me. You could put 25 people in a room, and you might get 5 that agree, and another 20 that don't, or vice versa.
Well, for what it's worth, Jason, I agree with you.
Well, I appreciate that because, you know, like I said, you do take your lumps and you do have, you know, for the majority of this year, parents have been wonderful.
Yeah.
I've not had any, you know, major 12 o'clock phone calls and getting chewed out, you know, that type of thing. But I know that there's parents that don't agree with me. And I understand that and I respect them for that. They have a right to think whatever they want. But I've got the right to think the way I think as well. And what's important to me is not 2 or 3 kids, but the other 97 that's out there.
Well, and like we said, a lot of things changes through the course of a child's upbringing from second grade till the time they're in 12th grade, not only physically, emotionally, what their interests are, what their living arrangement is, you know, a whole variety of different things that can and do happen. So I'm of the belief that if you cater to the 3 third graders that seem to be studs at that age, and you restrict yourself and neglect the other kids and don't give them the same fair shake, I'm in the insurance business, so I'm kind of a betting kind of guy. I'm willing to bet that over a period of time, not always are those 3 third grade studs always going to be interested in football when they're, you know, 9, 10 years down the road. But they might not be that good either. So I think you got the right. I think you're looking at things in the right way.
That's exactly what I mean by kids developing at different stages. The studs today may not be the studs for tomorrow. And the ones that you look at today and think, well, they can't even hardly get out of their own way, those usually are the ones that step up and become your studs. So if you scar them at an early age and you put a bitter taste in their mouth about what football and this program's about, then you're just cutting your throat down the road.
Right.
And, you know, I think everybody, every one of the coaches that have volunteered their time, and we have a lot of good coaches. We really do. We have a lot of good men that have donated their evenings on a hot football field trying to teach these children the game. And I have so much respect for them, it's not even funny. You've got to take the time, you've got to do it, and get these kids developed. And I think in the long run, I think parents and coaches are going to see that this type of atmosphere is going to pay off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I tell you what, I certainly appreciate you taking time out of your day, and moreover, I appreciate, and I think that the community, after hearing how you tick, so to speak, we appreciate all the volunteer work, and I know you're very active. And now, what's your boys' names?
My oldest son is Chase, and he's in the 7th grade, and my youngest son is Reagan, and he's in the 2nd grade.
So I knew there was some age difference, but I know they're big-time football players, they love the game, and I know you're a proud papa, not only for them, but when you take on the other 100 or so kids that you know, you sincerely, genuinely care about, not just in terms of stats, but, you know, nothing makes you happier than a kid running off the field after scoring a touchdown or making a great block and smiling at you. And that's, I guess, you know, at the end of the day, that's why volunteers, you do that. But it does entail a lot of time, a lot of thankless time. And sometimes you got to get roughed up by parents and things like that. But we do appreciate you taking time to join us on Vinton County on the Air, and wish you continued success. Okay, Jason?
Thank you, Carl. I appreciate it as well.
All right, take care.
You too. Bye.
Jason Newsom of the Vinton County Little Vikes program. Right now, we'll send it back to Bruce Knox and Vinton County on the Air.
Thanks, Jason and Carl, for the interesting interview into the Little Bikes program. We appreciate Jason's efforts to help get our kids involved here in Vinton County. And so, episode number 6 of Vinton County on the Air is in the can. Remember, we need you to contribute, subscribe, and share. Contribute show ideas and community information. Subscribe via email or via a podcatcher, as we talked about, like iTunes or Stitcher. And share, that is, tell all your friends. Help spread the word about Vinton County on the Air. So until next Friday, for Vinton County on the Air, this is Bruce Knox. Take care, and I hope to see you on the internet.